This is the Green Zone pregame show. Jamie Nye, Daryl Davis, Belton Johnson will join us in a bit as the Riders and the Bombers play at Princess Auto Stadium tonight in Winnipeg. 6 o'clock is the start time. Bringing you up to date on the Jays and the Mariners. Game five is underway. Vladdy stranded on second base as Alejandro Kirk struck out to end the top half of the first inning. And the Mariners now come to the plate in the bottom half with Kevin Gausman on the mound for the Blue Jays. But right now, here on the Green Zone pregame show, it's Britton Gray's All or Nothing. And this week, the Rough Riders made headlines with the extensions of head coach Corey Mace and general manager Jeremy O'Day. And in this week's All or Nothing, Britton Gray focuses on the Rider way.
After back-to-back 6-12 seasons and missing playoffs, Jeremy O'Day made a choice: bring in a new voice. The GM decided to not renew the contract of then-head coach Craig Dickinson and took a risk on a first-time head coach in Corey Mace. O'Day says it became apparent early Mace was the guy for the job.
Started with, just a conversation over the phone, and after the conversation, you wanted to talk to him more, and then it led to a FaceTime Zoom call with him, and then the interview in person, and he's the exact same person from the first call, and he doesn't. He's not fake in any way. He's authentic, genuine, very hard worker, motivated, awesome to work with. He's fun to come to work with every day, and he's just been great for the organization. Players love him. He loves the players, and I certainly enjoy having him around. He's a lot of fun.
Even at his introductory media conference, Mace knew the kind of team he wanted to field.
I want our team to match what it is to be a Rough Rider fan. If you want to stay here for these brutal winters, like you said, okay, well, fellas, the most important games are played in weather like that. So we want to be comfortable in something like that. That's when we want to shine. Blue collar, hardworking community. Well, we're going to be a blue collar, hardworking football team. And we're fast, physical, smart.
And Mace has certainly rewarded the Riders, as they've now made two trips to the West Final, last year as a visitor, and this season as the top team in the CFL West Division. Now both of them have signed two-year extensions, keeping them with the club through the 2028 season. Mace says the community of Saskatchewan has welcomed him and his family since first getting here.
It's unbelievable, man. The people of Saskatchewan have been nothing but plush to our family. Even, yesterday, my boy Chewy out there at his first, hockey practice, and all the neighbors and stuff helping this guy. I know nothing about hockey and just getting us all geared up. And I mean, everybody's just been first class here, and it feels like an extended family.
Mace has also had a big impact on a number of players as a coach, including defensive end Benoit Marion, who first met Mace as a member of the Argos.
I feel like he was one of the first defensive coaches that believed in me in the CFL, and just always being there and communicating what he sees, and just a whole lot of detail stuff, very technical. So just my growth as a defensive line player when I got in the league, he was our defensive line coach as well as our defensive coordinator. So I grew a lot with him.
And for O'Day, this contract will mean he will have spent nearly 30 years with the Riders, starting as a player back in 1999.
We got to experience it when things are tough. You find out a lot of things about yourself when you go through challenging times and about people, and it just motivates you to do better and to try to turn it around. You know how important that winning Grey Cups is for this province, for the people of Saskatchewan.
But while the two have delivered just the ninth time the team has ever finished at the top of the regular season standings, O'Day says the team knows the job isn't finished.
Still very hungry to accomplish the goals that are in front of us, and the players are very focused. They have been preparing at a rate that I just haven't seen in a while. They are very motivated to have success, and they're very unsatisfied with where we are, which is a great thing to see.
For the Green Zone, I'm Britton Gray.
Yes, Daryl, an absolute no-brainer to get Corey Mace and Jeremy O'Day locked in for at least two more years. Of course, next year they're under contract. These extensions kick in for 2027 and 2028.
Yeah, Craig Reynolds, the president, has to show some stability, right? And show that these guys have done a great job, so you reward them with it. Nobody wants to be in the last year of their contract, as these guys were, but you knew it was coming. We would have been starting to wonder about it if not. So they started talking about it in August. It sounds like that made sense. You know what? We were probably a little lax in the media that we weren't paying attention to it, because if these guys are in the last year of their contract, but you start thinking, well, geez, but they were doing so well that there was no doubt that this was going to happen. So good hiring by both of them. We've been a supporter of Jeremy O'Day's throughout his tenure, right, Jamie? It's been pretty obvious on the Green Zone. We're called homers. We get criticized for it, but he's obviously knows what he's doing and has built a solid team. And when he hired Corey Mace, we were like surprised a little bit too. I remember you and I were just discussing off air Farhan Lalji of TSN telling us, hey, man, they'll look at Scott Milanovich, they'll look at other guys, Buck Pearson, and talk to him. But as soon as Jeremy O'Day starts interviewing Corey Mace with any sincerity, he's going to hire Corey Mace. And it was exactly what happened, and he's exactly the right hiring for this football team.
Yes, he is. Has fit in nicely in Saskatchewan and has brought a culture that wins football games and is winning over the community. Not only the way Corey Mace handled, but everybody in that room, the way they handle themselves, it is a clear difference in the culture around this room and the behavior of the player, their attitudes. It is a healthy culture, and winning does help.
We see it from a different angle too, right? With Britton Gray and you and me, and we see them, and people don't often care about the media, but the way they treat us with respect is something that we haven't seen 100% from every single team, and they do. They respect us, and I respect them. It's a mutual relationship, and that's the way you always hope it'll be, and you can tell that it shows up on the field, the way they accept responsibility and get things done.
Jamie and Daryl with you here on the Green Zone, a pregame show. Belton will swing in. Speaking of swings, the Blue Jays just ended a bit of a threat after the big dumper Cal Raleigh doubled in the bottom half of the inning. So both teams have stranded their best hitter on second base. Vladdy and Cal Raleigh stranded 0-0 after one. The pregame show continues here on the Green Zone with the Riders and the Bombers at 6 o'clock on TSN. Next, Behind Enemy Lines on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Welcome into the Green Zone pregame show. Jamie Nye, Daryl Davis, and Grey Cup champion Belton Johnson here with us. So we never got a hint on Monday. Britton didn't ask you, Belton, for your hint for the tailgating tip, but I just see a bag of scoops hanging out of the bag you just brought in here. I am excited for tailgating tip coming out later on here on the Green Zone pregame show. And I see scoops.
I think y'all will like it.
When have we ever not liked anything you brought in, Belton? It's a highlight of our week, you know.
It might be all right. I don't know yet.
You hear us on the Green Zone during the week, we say, we really like Belton, but we really like his cooking, too.
Listen to him slow play this one.
Might be all right. We'll see.
Okay.
Meanwhile, we're not going to get to who's going to eat yet, but Daryl. I don't know what's going to happen on who's going to eat for Belton Johnson.
What is that?
Nick Dembski's not playing.
I saw that this morning. I'm like, what?
Belton says, who else is on that Bomber team, right? It's Nick Dembski every week.
Nick Dembski, right when we do the intro, man. He's already yelling, Nick Dembski, because he always eats against the Rough Riders. So he's going to have to pick a new Bomber this week on who's going to eat.
He gets the pick first, so he can have who he wants.
I imagine it.
They're starting full. They're going full bore. They need this victory.
Oh, they need it, man.
Yeah.
Absolutely, they do. Speaking of the Bombers, let's go behind enemy lines.
Peeking over the sidelines and sneaking into enemy territory.
Our man is behind enemy lines.
This is Behind Enemy Lines.
Each and every week, I get the opportunity to talk to a member of the opposition, and it's the first time I've been able to talk to Sam linebacker Retta Cromdy, who's formed into one of the best Sam linebackers in the Canadian Football League. We started off our conversation about trying to balance having just another game attitude, even though it's almost must-win time for the Bombers.
It's just to win the game that is in front of us. Just to not do too much, think about, we don't control anything that's playoff related or all that stuff. We just, what we control is our week of preparation and the game that's this weekend. So not trying to look too much forward and just focus on the task at hand.
Is it calm because of the experience in that locker room in scenarios like this?
I would say yes and no. I've never been part of like every year that I've been in CFL, I was blessed enough to go to playoff with no problems, I would say, since I've been here since 2021. So I wouldn't know, but I feel like the coaches, the message that a coach passed on to the players is very solid, and it's all about focusing on today's practice, today's week of preparation, and the game that's this week, and not think too much ahead.
Rhett Akramdi, linebacker, Winnipeg Blue Bombers, ahead of the game against the Rough Riders. What is the mental preparation like for what's coming your way? Like, if it's not Trevor Harris, if it's not this player or that player, how much does it take extra work to get some film on the Dell Duncan Busby or Sean Bain Juniors and stuff like that when it's not the regular guys? Or do you expect the Riders just to roll out what they've rolled out schematically this week?
I think you touched up on it. Every offenses has their scheme, and they're not going to change everything because of players' movement. They're going to stick to their scheme. They're going to stick to what they know, and they're going to run it. They've been running it the whole season. They've been running it pretty well. Like they get the chance to sit a lot of starters because they clinch first. So you just got to focus on getting to learn their scheme as a defense and knowing what they're good at and what they like to do. And at the end of the day, Jake Mayer is a different quarterback than Trevor Harris, obviously. So, but we played against Jake Mayer, so it's a lot of work got to been put in, but it's pretty similar than any other week. It's the same thing.
Yeah, would it be harder if it, like, just say it was a Jack Cohn, their third stringer, who you don't have a lot of film on, instead of Jake Mayer, who, of course, has been in this league a while, and you have more than enough a book on the tendencies of Jake Mayer?
Like I said, it's a system. Jake Mayer played in Calgary, so Saskatchewan playing, and the Rough Riders, they're playing in a system offensively. Now they don't run the same concept and the same plays, so it's all about focusing on the bigger picture of the offense and not specifically the players.
Rhett Akramdi here, a Winnipeg Blue Bombers linebacker. You have been rising the ranks in the Canadian Football League. You arrive in 2021, couple of games, more special teams, 2022, start to get more reps. You've grown into all-star caliber player at the linebacking core for the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. Who has been a person in that organization who's really helped in the development, the knowledge, and how much patience did it pay off where you are today, Rhett?
It would be hard for me to pinpoint one person. So many guys have been through this locker room and helped me to be where I'm at today. But as a staff, I think Jordan Younger has been great with me and for me. He's been super honest from the get-go, from the my first practice. So I knew what I had to do, and I knew what was my role every year. So it's been a great journey. When I think about where I was and where I'm at now, I'm super grateful. People like Adam Big Hill have been really, really, like, I've learned a lot. Like, a lot. It'll be this guy is a coach on the field. So, and in the back end, Detroit Nichols, I'm super thankful to still be with him and playing next to him and having the honor to see him as an equal now and not as someone I look up to. So it's super fun I feel like as a player, you don't take time to look back at where you started and where you are. And you do it when your career is over. But it's been a good ride. Hopefully many good years in front of me.
How much does just your athleticism really line up with Sam Linebacker? And you can play and be anywhere on the field with coverage, blitzing. It's kind of that hybrid position. Was it a perfect fit for you, Rhett?
I played in a college, and I always liked to be around different kind of situation, being around the box or being as a deep third player, being a shorter zone player, maybe blitzing off the edge. I always thought of myself as someone that could do everything, and I take a lot of pride of doing it. And this position is very special in the CFL. If you look around the league, the players that play that position, they're able to do a bunch, and they're really versatile, and they got a lot of pressure on themselves. And I think it's an amazing position in the Canadian Football League, and I'm super happy that I get to take on the field and play that position.
Okay, it's not the Labor Day Classic, it's not the Banjo Bowl, but it is the Rough Riders. Will it still have that same vibe on Friday night?
Every game against the Rough Riders is the same. They bring their best, and we got to bring our best. They're, regardless who dresses up or who doesn't, this team is well coached, physical. They tackle well on defense. They run to the ball. They turn the ball over. That offense is well executed. And I have one of my best friends who plays on that team, Samuel Emilius, who's probably one of the best receivers in the CFL. So we got our hands full.
You missed Sam, though, didn't you? He was out for the couple of weeks.
I was pretty happy. I was pretty happy I didn't have to play against him.
Yeah, because I know Sam, he'd probably be willing to go right down the field on a run block and try to take out six, right?
Sam, excuse my language. Sam is a little he's physical. He's physical. He's elusive with the ball. He can block. He can. There's a play against us in 2024, I think. He took a handoff. He was in the backfield. He can do everything. Catch 50-50 ball. He can run every route. So I'm a big, it's not game time yet, so I can say it. I'm a big fan of him.
Where does that relationship harken back to? I know you're both from Montreal, but.
You probably know, but we got something called CJIP in Quebec province. So we got one less year in high school, and then we got 2 or 3 years of CJIP before university, and we played at the same CJIP. So we spent two seasons together, and his growth went from being a role player to being the best player in the league. So super, and we can keep it in touch. During the season, during the off season, we work out together. He's super cool.
That is Retta Cromdy, good friends with Rough Riders Sam Emilius, both from Montreal. maybe they'll have to line up against each other in the playoffs. Yeah, but Retta Cromdy,
a Canadian playing that position. Usually, that's an American spot, right?
Yep.
You put your Canadians at the will spot where you're often against the running backs, but this one. He gets some slot backs he's got to cover. That's a tough spot, and he's right. That's one of the major spots for a defense in the Canadian Football League. The Daryl Hall is going into the Canadian Football Hall of Fame because he's the guy who the prototype to defend a big defensive back who comes down and can cover. The Rough Riders have that in CJ Rivas. They've put Antoine Brooks Jr. over there. It's a tough spot to play, and it's not usually filled by a Canadian. So kudos to him because he's a very good football player in a really tough spot.
He is indeed. Coming up next, Inside the Green and White, we'll hear from Sean Bain Jr. back in the starting receiving corps for the first time this year. Of course, he's only been the return man this season. Sheldrick Redwine, who's playing in Roland Milligan Jr.'s spot on defense this week. And real quick update, it was a Suarez home run in the bottom of the second inning that has Seattle up 1-0 on the Jays, 2 out in the bottom of the second, a man on first. Right now, as we continue to bring you up to date on Game 5 of the American League Championship Series throughout the Green Zone pregame show on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Welcome back to the Green Zone pregame show. Jamie Nye, Daryl Davis, and Belton Johnson. 1-0 Mariners after 2 innings in the American League Championship Series game number 5. Belton, we need to console Daryl during the Brewers game potentially tonight, Belton, as they're trying to avoid the brooms from the L.A. Dodgers.
What a pitching staff those Dodgers have, man.
I think it's Shohei on the mound tonight, too, for the Dodgers.
Yeah, and batting leadoff.
That's unfair, man. What the Dodgers got?
How many million? You need another pitcher? Here's another $200 million. Okay. Right-hander, left-hander?
What's that, the luxury tax? They're probably going to get something on that, aren't they?
Oh, they're over the luxury tax. There's no doubt about that. Yep.
I'm to enforce a salary cap, man.
But it looks like a Kiner Falefa. Man, another double to start the inning for the Blue Jays from their second baseman. We'll see if they can capitalize on this one at the top of the third inning.
After 2 games, I thought the Brewers had a chance, but the Blue Jays didn't. Boy, I was wrong on that. What a switcheroo.
It's been interesting to watch for sure. But as we continue here on the Green Zone pregame show, time for Inside the Green and White. I had a chat with Sean Bain Jr. on what it's been like to be out of the lineup, rehabbing, then in the lineup, then he's out of the lineup, and today back in starting at receiver.
Just trying to be even keel, man. Like you said, it's just it can be mental gymnastics, preparing, not preparing. But truthfully, I'm always preparing as if I'm playing. So. Definitely thankful to be a receiver this week. I'm just super excited to again show the world what I can do, show the team what I can do, get open, and lead the younger group.
Yeah, when you talk about the younger group for these games, people say, "Oh, meaningless game," but how meaningful is this game for you and Duncan Busby and guys who are trying to earn a spot for that playoff roster?
Yeah, it's major. Every game counts, truthfully. I know we sealed it already, but, like, it's still, you know, like you said, the reps matter. Like, the coaches want to see, you know what I'm saying, like, in a game like this where technically it doesn't, but, like, they still want to see how you are attacking it and how you are attacking your reps and how you're attacking your preparation. So, it's still major to me and Dell and all of the younger guys. So, just been communicating a lot and filling up, you know, different spots on offense. So,
what was Corey said? His message was complacency does not happen on this team. How important is that message for these final 2 weeks before the playoffs?
Oh, it's major. Again, like we really haven't done anything yet as a team. You know what I'm saying? We've hit a stepping stone, but it's like it's not the ultimate goal. So. Still got to come to work and, iron sharpening the iron. Like we have to go no matter what. So, yeah.
Did you get a talking to from the coach about the attempted Gatorade shower?
Yeah. Like, I was talking to Micah. He was like, man, we're going to do it. And I was like, we're going to do it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you sure? He was like, yeah, let's do it. And, he gave us a nice little stiff arm. So that was pretty funny. But, when he explained himself afterwards, I was like, yeah, it makes sense. You know, it's not the dance. So for what?
Yeah, Sean Bain, he and Mike. Did you like that, Belton? The head coach going, get that noise out of here. Give me a Gatorade shower when we win the whole darn thing.
I did like that, right? And, you know, they got a bigger picture here, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the goal is to hoist that great cup at the end of the season. And I like every bit of what made, as soon as he saw it, and that was a heck of a stiff arm.
I think it
bumped him back a little bit.
Yeah.
Whoever with Mike and them. So.
Yeah, Micah Johnson, who's his closest, right? He named his son after him.
So,
yeah, that was funny to see. I can't believe that Micah Johnson would have tried that. He knows that Corey Mace isn't really partial.
I think Michael was like, if there's someone that he won't get too mad at, it'll be me. So I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
He's still mad at him, but it's all forgiven. But remember after Corey Mace got dumped on Gatorade dumped on him the first time, he said, okay, very first one I can live with. But I told them afterwards, we got to wait till it means something. So it hasn't meant anything since. It won't until November the 16th.
You know it will not. As we continue here on the Green Zone pregame show, now we flip the ball over to the defensive side. He's starting in Roland Milligan Jr.'s spot. I had a conversation with Sheldrick Redwine this week on his adjustment to Canada and the CFL.
For me, I'm a history buff when it comes to the game, you know, so just learning about, you know, the history of the game, actually, you know, learning about the guys that I'm playing against, learning about the guys that I'm playing with, you know, so that, and then just bringing my own flavor, you know, to be able to still be myself within the same game.
All right, so what are you up against when you do the work on Nick Dembski and Brady O and Zach Kolaros?
You know, they, good football players, you know, Kolaros is one of the top quarterbacks, you know, Dembski, one of the top receivers, you know, so they're good guys, you know, but at the end of the day, it's really about just the camaraderie of our team and how we communicate, you know, to just be in the right position.
Yeah. You've been already placed in different spots. How important is your versatility in this league for what you need to do each and every week to try to earn a spot on the field?
Yeah, I feel like my versatility is very important. You know, I pride myself, you know, since I was 4 years old, just being able to step on the football field and whatever the role calls for, you know, just be able to get the job done, not complain about what the role is, but to just ultimately get the job done. That doesn't matter if it's at corner, if it's at halfback, free safety, Sam, Mike, D-tackle, you know, offensive linemen. If they called me to do that and they needed me to do that, you know, I'll be full prepared for whatever I need to do to be right there.
How surprised were you how quickly this opportunity came to be from signing here and then being on the field?
I wasn't really surprised, you know, but, you know, it's, you know, God blessed me with the opportunity to be able to, you know, get across those white lines, you know, to be able to do the game that I love, play the game that I love.
That is Sheldrick Redwine. What do you think Sheldrick would do at offensive tackle
or defensive tackle?
6'1", 196.
I was already checking his weight out. Put him in front of me, Jamie. Let's go.
Like to play against a D-tackle that size. Hey,
oh, man, yeah.
Throw him around.
Oh,
how would he do blocking somebody?
Well,
how do you do blocking Willie Jefferson if he wants to play offensive tackle?
Ooh. How would he do?
Yeah.
He wouldn't last. Yeah. He wouldn't.
The last guy I saw that small play in D-tackle was Kiwana Jones.
Yeah, right?
When Gary Echeverry would throw him in the middle of the defense. Jamie Nye, Darrell Davis, Belton Johnson with you here on the Green Zone. As it's now through The top half of the third inning, Mariners still have a 1-0 lead. Runner was not stranded at second after a leadoff double. It was a line drive to first, and Naylor threw him out at second base for a double play for the Mariners to end another threat by the Blue Jays. Coming up next, I don't know what else is in that bag, but I see scoops from Belton Johnson's tailgating tip with Sherwood Co-op. And who's going to eat next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM?